This is KCIM Sports Rewind today, the expanded version, the deluxe version of the show.
Yes.
You are lucky enough today to get 20 extra seconds of KCIM Sports Rewind.
We appreciate that.
Mason is very excited about this.
He got the sweat towel out.
It's an absolute blessing to get an extra 20 seconds.
The sarcasm dripping, but I love it. I love that. It's Bob Seger's birthday today, by the way.
Yeah.
I just hate the song Old Time Rock and Roll.
Right.
It's my least favorite Bob Seger song because it got overplayed. I played high school dances for decades in there, and everybody wanted to hear that song.
Right.
So I just no. And anytime it comes on the air, I turn it off.
Yeah, okay.
Any Seger song that does that to you?
No, I actually like all his music.
I love Bob Seger.
Yeah, I guess for me, I probably don't hear him often enough to be tired of him. That sounds like that's what it is with
you. Kathmandu or
you go. Yes.
Hollywood Nights. Or Mason, what's your favorite Seger song?
Couldn't tell you I've listened to one.
He's just too excited for our special guest today.
He is, yes.
And we are going to talk about a football legend, passing Dick Tye. Again, just this past week, 94 years of age, a legend. I never met Coach Tye, but certainly knew the name and knew the records, Jeff.
Yeah, I never officially meet him. I did email back and forth with him a couple of times when he was at St. Ed in one of our area schools we would be playing so I could get lineups and stuff, but never got the chance to officially meet him.
When was the last time he coached? Do you remember?
I think he retired, if I remember correctly, in 2016, I think is when he retired from up at St. Edmund. So.
Yeah, coaching over the Gales.
Yes.
Therefore, Dodge St. Ed's and stuff. But we are lucky enough to have with us a person who coached alongside of Coach Dick Tye, the legend. It is Vern Hinkinney, a former Kemper coach, joining us from Urbandale this morning. First of all, Vern, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Your thoughts on the passing of the legend, Dick Tye.
Well, thanks for having me this morning. I just got out of the eye doctor, so my eyes aren't as good, but I can still talk. So anyway, I was really, I really wasn't surprised at the passing of Dick Tye. I was in his home maybe 9 months ago, had a visit with him, he talked about life and what he expected, and then he got sick soon after that, and his passing this past week. So it really wasn't a surprise. You know, when you're 94, you lived a good life.
Absolutely, yeah. And what was he like in person? I mean, he seemed like such a gregarious guy, you know, easygoing. What was it like to work with him?
Well, I came to Kemper in 65, and he came to Kemper in 1962. And so what was it like? Well, he was the veteran coach, veteran head coach there at Kemper at the time, and So he quickly took me under his wing and started. I was a rookie, and he quickly started teaching me the X's and O's of being an assistant football coach. What was he like? He was probably one of the most demanding head coaches that I knew in my life. I had known quite a few, of course, at Kemper and other schools. I supervised coaches at some of the schools where I was a high school principal, so. I'll use the word demanding. He expected perfection.
Vern, Jeff Blankman here. Appreciate you again joining us today. When you first coached with him back then, did you know that he would go on to coach 63 years?
I expected that. I expected he was really a football nut, so to speak, and he lived it. But the other thing I want to say right up front, and you can ask as many questions as you want, but he was an outstanding teacher. He taught in the Kemper system, taught seven sections of American history. We were on an eight-period day back then, and he taught seven sections of American history every day, and his expertise was the Civil War. He just loved to teach the kids about the Civil War.
Vern, you mentioned his teaching ability. I've always kind of believed, and I certainly am not the person that said it the first time, but a lot of times your best coaches are also your best teachers because coaching really is teaching.
no question about it. Dick Ty, I don't know how many of your listeners can relate back to other names I might mention, but Lou Galovich was in the political science department at the time, and Dan Bach, who was in the math department at the time. I don't want to drop a lot of names, but, you know, those, you talk about those people, those were just outstanding teachers, and, of course, I hope Dan is able to hear this little program we're having. Dan's living in Grimes now, just a couple of miles from where we're talking, and Dan was Dick Tye's number one assistant.
You mentioned he was a disciplinarian. I got to tell you, one of the best teachers I ever had in high school was also known as the toughest teacher in high school. Very demanding, but I love the guy. I learned a lot in his class. What happened if you got on Dick Tye's wrong side? Maybe you ran the play a couple of times too, not good enough. What would happen with him?
Well, you have a pretty good listening base. And some people will tell you that Dick Tye maybe went over the edge once in a while. Dick can't chew me out for saying that because he's gone. But he, what would he do? Well, I'll give you a, he might wrap a head, a kid over the top of the head with a helmet if he did. Oh, excuse me, over the top of his helmet with a clipboard if he didn't run the play right.
Vern, that helped him, though, have probably a lot of success, you know, and stuff. What were some of your favorite teams and players that, to coach with, that, you know, that played for Dick at Kemper?
Well, I only worked with him 2 years. He left then for Webster City. But, of course, when you talk about the favorite team, it was his last team in the fall of 1966. He had an outstanding team. There was no playoffs back then, but the team, the Kemper team, was 7-1-1 that year. And they, if you had playoffs, they would have been in. They would have been in the dome. They were one of the top four or five, and that was a large school back then, you know. And they would have been one of the top four teams in the state. You know, I could talk a lot about that team, but, of course, they had an outstanding running back, and Larry Perot probably, I don't know, you guys probably can correct me, but he graduated from Kemper and went to Missouri on a full scholarship to be a running back, and I don't know how many Kemper Carroll High kids graduated locally there and went directly into a large program like Missouri or wherever to play running back. So that was awesome. But beyond that, you know, you can't just have a running back. He had an outstanding quarterback in Darrell Stalzer, and the linemen were just outstanding. You know, I can tell you a story about how he developed some linemen, but, and Lou Billmeyer, the end was Lou Billmeyer people criticized Dick Tye for never throwing passes, but Lou was an outstanding blocking end, and he caught a lot of passes when it needed to be done. So I'll stop there. The 66 team, I only knew a couple of them because then he left and went to Webster City.
Yeah, it's funny how many, one of the things that's kind of known is like he didn't win a state championship. But, well, I mean, how many would he have won had there been playoffs at that point? He had so many great teams. But he's also known for his disdain for trick plays. I mean, like I said, his whole playbook was like maybe 6 or 7 plays. But that led to what his kind of perfectionist attitude was all about, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he... Larry Perot, the running back, he needed a good running back because he ran an unbalanced line. And so they'd run belly right, belly left, and then they'd take the ball to the outstanding running back, and then Stalzer or whoever was the quarterback would keep it and go around the end, or they would just kind of fade out and throw to the wing back, people like Lou Billmeyer. So, yeah, he had about 6 plays. I don't know how much you want to talk, but I can tell you that the people at Kemper never disdained his limited plays, but the people at Webster City, and he was there for over 30 years, but I can tell you that the people at Webster City in the end thought they held the Dick Tice playbook with a lot of disgust.
Yeah, it's funny how one fan base would just love it, and the next fan base maybe not so much. Really, one of the true tests of a coach is you said he was a disciplinarian. He expected perfection out of his players and execution out of his players. What was his relationship with players like after they left? I assume that they had tremendous amounts of respect for the man.
No question. I was out Saturday watching the Kentucky Derby a little bit with some friends, and the wife of Larry Perot was there, and I knew her name was Phyllis, and I knew her. I taught her in class when I was at Kemper. But anyway, I talked to Phyllis, and Phyllis says, you know, Larry, who, by the way, is having some medical issues right now, challenging, but Larry recently just went up to Webster City to see Coach Tice. So the coach, these players would go back and see him, and they'd love to talk to him.
Vern, you mentioned that you recently had a chance to catch up with him about 8-9 months ago. 60 years later, you're still in communication. That means the relationship was great for you and the coaches. Did you guys, as that coaching staff, kind of get together on a regular basis or semi-regular basis, you know, since you guys have all retired?
Well, not since retirement so much, but, you know, during the years we worked together, we would get together regularly. We did a lot of scouting. Back then, Kemper, of course, in the years, have used the same field with the Carroll High Tigers. And so Kemper played a lot of Saturday night games. So we scouted a lot on Friday nights. We'd get in the car and drive to Sioux City or wherever, in Des Moines, and then scout and spend a lot of time together in the car. And then we'd get together as a family. I knew Margot, Dick's first wife, who, by the way, was a Sioux City Heelan grad, and they had a nice family. They built their house up there on Benjamin. Some of you people in the Carroll probably remember that. He and Margot built a brand-new house up on Benjamin Street. And so, yeah, we get together on Friday night after scouting or Saturday night after the game, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, for anybody, I never met Dick Tice. Jeff, you never met him at all. Do you have any kind of coaching equivalent? You could say, well, he was kind of like this guy that we could put a little reference for, maybe a Hayden Fry or someone like that?
Well, you know, the guy that just, Dick Tice had the record for most wins for head coach in Iowa for many years, and the guy that just passed him was Coach Pizzetti down in Ankeny. At Ankeny Centennial, he's over there now. He's the co-head coach. It's kind of an interesting story. So anyway, comparison, yeah, a guy like Jerry, Mr. Coach Pizzetti down in Ankeny would be a comparable one. But, you know, one thing that's kind of unique is Dick Tice was a co-head coach at Iowa Falls after his tenure at Webster City, and Jerry Pizzetti is currently the co-head coach down in Ankeny. So these co-head coaches kind of rack up some wins too. So the Iowa Athletic Association allows them to count those as wins.
Well, Vern, I tell you what, it's been great catching up with you and talking about Coach Dick Tice and his connection to Kemper back here. Let's talk about you for a second. Down in Urbandale for about 9 years. How are you doing these days?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just, as I said, just got out of my, I spend a little time in, when you get to my age, you know, you spend a little time in the doctor's office. So just got out of the eye doctor, and I have a satisfactory report. But anyway, no, I'm doing fine. Play a lot of golf and go out to the racetrack out here east of Des Moines and spend a lot of time with family. I'm doing fine. You know, the reason I moved down here, I have two children down here. One is teaching at Waukee, and the other one, my daughter, is teaching at Urbandale. And, of course, you hear Mary Beth is the head volleyball coach over there. Excuse me, at Dowling. and she's the head volleyball coach over there, and she's had a second place finish in the state. So, and my son is the sophomore basketball coach at Waukee, so Waukee to the Warriors. And my other son is out in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's an attorney and works for United. For a bank. He's in the trust department of a bank. So I'm doing fine. My wife passed away in 2010, so it's been 15 years. And so after living in Carroll 6 years or so after my wife passed away, I decided to relocate closer to my kids. So.
Yeah, be closer to family, absolutely. And I know you were the guy that had to put up with Jeff Blankman, news director, for several years, so we certainly thank you for putting in that effort.
How are you guys doing in Carroll? I enjoy following the Tigers. You know, I worked 28 years at Carroll Community, and I enjoyed this following the Tigers, and I enjoy following the Knights. And I know there's a lot of success up there. So we appreciate, the call, and I hope we offered a little bit to the listeners this morning.
Oh, absolutely we did. Vern, thank you so much, and continued good health for you, and maybe we'll catch up again sometime.
Okay, we will, John. Thanks.
Right, thank you. Vern Hankenny is once again joining us here this morning on KCIM Sports Rewind. And yeah, following the Tigers, man, we still got that guy named Jeff Blankman. He's still here. We're slaving away.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was fun catching up with Vern. Yeah. You know, back when I did news and sports, I talked to him at sporting events. I would talk to him at news stories and stuff and news events. So I got to know Vern very well over the years. He's always been really gracious with his time. So we appreciate him coming on today. So.
Yeah. Again, talking about Dick Tye, one of a kind.
Yeah.
This guy is
432 wins over 60 at three seasons. Again, retired in 2016. And again, as Vern mentioned, Jerry Pizzetti eclipsed his wins total back in 2022. Mm-hmm. So,
and there was another guy, Randy Hinkle, didn't it, too, at Madrid, right, when he was at Madrid?
Yeah, he might have. I can't
at one
remember.
Point, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a former Lake City coach.
Yes.
You
know, yeah, so. Lauraville, I think, or something. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Something like that. So, anyway, great catching up with Vern Hankenny here this morning. We got other news. Maybe some conference realignment coming our way.
The high school version.
Yeah. It's anarchy is about to reign, people. We'll get to that coming up next here on KCIM Sports Rewind.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
This is the expanded version of KCIM Sports Rewind, that extra 20 seconds, man. I'm telling you.
Are we going to survive?
I think we wasted it on the Bob Seger talk, but anyway. You ready for your trivia question?
Mason, are you ready for the trivia question?
Hopefully.
See,
okay.
I'm going to give you your option. You can either do a sports question,
okay,
or a pop culture question for the day.
I don't know anything
about. Because I kind of like testing your pop culture knowledge here.
Do both, because I guarantee I won't know anything on pop culture. Mason might be able to get that one.
We'll do the sports question first here.
Okay.
It looks like Aaron Rodgers probably going to be going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
They say it's probably inevitable. He would be only the second quarterback in NFL history to play for a team that his former team previously beat in a Super Bowl. The other one happened in 2014. And it involved a quarterback, I'll give you this clue, who also played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And very, very recently.
Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is the correct answer. He played for the Seahawks when they beat the Denver Broncos. So.
Yeah. Okay.
The other one, the pop culture question, Friends,
aired
their finale on this date, I think it was, or their 10th season debuted or something like that. 52.5 million voters. Who are the Friends? Name them.
Rachel, Joey, Chandler, Ross, Phoebe, and Monica.
Wow. There you go.
I watch Friends.
Are you taking notes there, Mason? Did you know any of those?
No. Before my time, I haven't watched Friends, really.
There's reruns of Friends on TV every day.
Constantly.
Sometimes I watched Friends back in the day. So
I was going to say, because you knew that one right away.
Yep, I did.
I thought maybe that was a little off the Blankman radar.
Yeah, no, I was a Friends fan. I know I'm almost guaranteeing you I'll get a text from Honnold here soon. I was a Friends fan. So.
All right. So let's get to the news that you've got going on here for conference realignment. It's been a big topic in the college football world for a number of years. It will continue to be, I think, as the conferences continue to contract and just maybe kick other teams out, I think, is the next round, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's gone to the high school level.
It is. And there's always been some realignment in high school. I know, especially in Eastern Iowa, but getting a little closer to home right now.
So my question is, why? I mean, what are the high school conferences really want out of this?
To survive. West Harrison has gone.
They're not money-making entities.
Right, no. But, so West Harrison, it no longer plays sports at the high school level. They've combined with Missouri Valley, so they're out of the Rolling Valley. So the Rolling Valley is concerned. It's a conference that's got smaller schools than some of them, struggling with numbers and those type of things. So there's concern in the Rolling Valley Conference that they may be losing a few more teams here, maybe in the next 8-10 years or less.
So
they're looking to stay viable and stay a conference. To be honest with you, if you're Coon Rapids Baird, if you're Peyton Chernan, if you're Glidden Ralston, if you're Arweva, just in our local area here, where do you go if the Rolling Valley disbands because you're down to four or five teams? Where do you go in this part of the state? Because there's not other schools your size. So they're trying to figure out what they can do to stay alive and stay viable. So,
and it's a financial question for the schools with bus travel, things like that, arranging those schedules, kids' time out of class.
Yes, all of that is a huge part of it. So the Rolling Valley, back during the basketball season, and I've been kind of holding this story since then, they sent invites out to in our local area, Audubon and Ikea Manning. They also sent invites out to Missouri Valley, to Loma, to Earlham, to Panorama, and to ACGC. Now, I know our two local schools potentially going to be voting on that move later on this month. That's kind of the word. In talking with people in both communities and in both school districts here over the last month or so, as these things have been building, it sounds like the wave is heading in the direction of them maybe accepting, that move and moving into the Rolling Valley Conference. I'm not for sure. It sounds like Missouri Valley and Loma are staying put in the WIC. And probably not going to be moving is what I'm gathering. And then, I don't know, it sounds like maybe there's a swell for Panorama, Earlham, and ACGC to get away from the Van Meters and some of those schools, around a little closer to the Des Moines metro area and stuff. And they may come in, or maybe one or two of them come into the Rolling Valley Conference. If you're the WIC, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, somebody's trying to poach a few of our programs, so now we need to look around. And from what I've understand, they've sent invites out to the Red Oak, Shenandoah, and Clarinda, and potentially St. Albert in that discussion as well. So that would be maybe four schools out of the Hawkeye 10 conference, being invited to leave, which would make the Hawkeye 10 probably need to look around. And I won't say who a school potentially could be that they would look at, but I think anybody in this area would probably have one school that would come to mind fairly quickly. There's been no invite. There's been no talk of it, but you would just have to wonder.
It's just assumption.
Yes.
It just makes sense in that area because you can't run a conference with just six schools.
Right. Absolutely.
Or whatever you've got.
Yep. Yeah.
And it makes total sense for the Rolling Valley Conference. Yep. It makes sense for a lot of things for this kind of realignment. It's going to have a domino effect up the chain. But as far as we go for our coverage, it's great to have them all in the same conference, isn't it?
It is. It is. I've enjoyed, having the four schools in the Rolling Valley. If you would get two more in there and put six, that's that whole conference is almost our area schools, which, you know, makes scheduling easier. You know, I know Sean Burks, the AD down at Audubon, joked with me the other day that I had to love the football districts this year, and I absolutely do for the next 2 years, because it's the first time in a long time that our 4 8-man programs are all in the same district. You got ESAC and South Central Calhoun back in the same district. I know, don't always want to do just ESAC, South Central Calhoun, or just do, you know, Coon Arweva and Coon Audubon and the same games every year. So we do try to rotate through. But, you know, when you're limited in the amount of weeks in a season, it's much easier to get everybody covered multiple times, you know, when they're playing each other, and you can slide some of those games into your broadcast schedule.
So how soon before any of this happens?
I would guess it won't be this upcoming fall, but I would guess probably the fall of 26-27. Yeah, I know the 26-27 school year is probably when these schools would start to move if the approvals start happening. Because I'm guessing, just an assumption here, and part of it based off some conversations with people, that, you know, if you get, you know, 3 or 4 schools or maybe 5 schools to say they're going to join the Rolling Valley, then them conferences are probably going to try and get themselves filled by the time those schools are going to be leaving. So they've probably already got their list of who they're wanting, and they'll go after those schools and try to get that approval. And then you'd have the next wave of schools that need to do it. So,
you know, it's funny, you look at St. Albert, they're kind of that outlier out there. They could go one of two different directions, but the fact that Glenwood's right in their backyard,
right,
and Lewis Central,
and Lewis Central
gives them that natural
fit
right into the Hawkeye 10.
It does. They've gotten smaller since joining the Hawkeye 10 and struggled to compete.
The few parochial schools that have gotten smaller.
Yes.
Probably.
Yep.
Well, and it's a Nebraska school.
Right. Yeah.
It's Is it Council Bluffs?
It's in Council Bluffs, yep.
Okay.
But, you know, so, but now with the voucher system, you could see parochial schools, know, starting to grow again and stuff. So if they start to grow, maybe, you know, and they've gotten a little more competitive here. There was a stretch before these last few years where St. Albert was struggling to compete on a consistent base in the Hawkeye 10, but now you're starting to see them maybe starting to work back up a little bit as their numbers begin to go up. So
yeah, Mason, you love to see like maybe a school like Van Meter take down. I mean, they're basically an overflow school, and kids giving them another option to play. Getting them out would probably be a great thing for this area.
Yeah, I mean, for all these schools, when you move, it's just in the best interest of how these kids can compete and try to push these kids to the next level. If they're really into the sports and stuff, you know, you want the best for the kids. And so if ICAM, Manning, and Audubon want to move into the Rolling Valley and compete there and kind of have that full conference there, then I think it's a good thing for them.
And speaking of Van Meter, there are rumors that the Raccoon River Conference may be getting a few schools coming their direction, and Van Meter potentially is one of those as well.
It would be a great addition for them.
Yep.
I tell you what, they've got some great talent there, and they're really just dominating wherever they play, and they play the smaller schools. But it's kind of funny, Class 3A is really kind of the, you know, a nondescript, non-identity kind of thing. You're not a Des Moines Metro school, but you're not a small school either.
Right, absolutely, and we've seen it here. That, you know, those schools that are closer to the metro areas in the conference are kind of taking control of the conference. You're seeing that in the WIC with Underwood and Trainer. You know, it's an issue around the state that, you know, from 3A on down, and probably more noticeable in the 1A, 2A, and A area. But if you're a smaller school that's near a metro area, you get some of that filter over. It just happens. Not blaming any of those schools for any of that. It's just what happens. And you become more competitive. You know, Woodbine's starting to get that filter over, and they're starting to, for a program that was kind of a middle-of-the-pack program for a long, long time in the Rolling Valley, all of a sudden they're becoming kind of a big dog in the Rolling Valley Conference. So
now, as you look at, I guess, you know, all the future of high school sports and things like that, it's just, it's going to get even crazier. Do you see that boys going to 5 classes?
I could.
There's talk.
I could.
Right?
There has been. Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen. The one thing I will say, and I know this is going to be
bad. Why wouldn't you want 5 classes?
Because I look at what happened since they've done that in the girls, and I will say that the state tournaments are watered down. They're not as competitive. They're not as good. I think they've hurt themselves by adding an extra class at the state girls level.
Same complaint as a state wrestling tournament.
Right. Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Any other news going going on that we need to talk about here? I know we've got we're going to have track districts here coming up pretty soon.
Next week, next Thursday.
Man, it's about to get crazy busy, insane busy.
Yeah, this is the conference track meet week. So everybody in our area has got their conference track meets coming up this week. Kemper boys tennis yesterday hosted the Hawkeye 10. The girls tomorrow go down to Red Oak. So yeah, we're going to be winding down the regular season and into the postseason here in the next week or two, pretty much in most of the spring sports, and the weather finally getting nice. So it's hard to believe that the season's over, but we're getting there, but we're getting close.
And I'll throw this question out to both of you. Like, anybody that is looking really good right now in track that is maybe eyeing a high place finish?
I mean, the two kids that we sent down to Drake, Trayvon and Cal, both from Peyton Chernan and Coon Rapids Baird, I think they're probably our two better track athletes so far. They've kind of been competing at a high level consistently throughout the year, but there's kids in there that will compete and they will finish high throughout the year. I mean, both on the boys and girls side, there's people that'll sprinkle themselves into the conversation every so often.
Yeah, and I would say Cam Manning, probably girls and boys, have the best chance to send the most amount of events down to the state meet. They've probably been balanced-wise our toughest teams all year long. So
yeah, we're going to have complete coverage of the state track, just like always, with the video interviews and everything like that, the photos and all the updates online and the reports and all of that stuff. So you got the crew assembled?
Got the crew assembled, and looking forward to it. It should be fun.
We need a name for you guys, like the Power Rangers or something like that.
I'll coin this right now. We're the Avengers of the state track meet.
I'm nixing that one. Avengers, no. We're going to work on that.
We'll find one before next Tuesday.
There you go. That is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week. You can catch a podcast available on the website and the mobile app coming up here in just a couple more minutes.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM Carroll. Broadcasting from the Wild Road.